You stick a little ribbon there or a bookmarker in 1 Peter chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 6. Some guys are just asking to be picked on, and there's just something about it. You know, they say, I don't remember, is the greatest form, imitation is the greatest form of flattery when somebody imitates you, but also poking fun of somebody is the greatest form of flattery. And there was a picture in the back of the junior church room that somebody drew of our infamous Doug Burrows down here. It's a picture of a little baby on his hands and knees, and has the little pointed hair up there, and has a goatee around it. It says, Doug Burrows as a baby. And you just have to see the picture. And for the life of us, we couldn't figure out who it was. we've kind of narrowed it down, and rumor has it, it's Jody Whitlock. And I think so he was back there behind, maybe involved in that or knows something about that. There was a man that was walking down the street, and we'll just call him Jody for short. And Jody was walking down the street, and he passed by a sign that said, Cruise, $100. And he walked by it and he began to think, you know what? I have $100 and I'd really like to take a cruise. So he turns around and he goes back in the shop and he starts counting out his money, 80, 90, 100. And just as he says $100 and lays it on the counter, he's whacked over the head and wakes up a while later in a barrel floating down the river. And he's looking around, coming to, and as the blur begins to fade away, he looks around and he sees somebody else in a barrel. And we'll just call him Wade Phillips just to get back at Wade. And Wade Phillips is floating down the river, and he says, Hey, sir, do you know if they serve dinner on this cruise? And Jody says, they didn't last year. Yeah, taking the Now, that's just a little fun there, but you know the devil will try to sell you a cheap joyride, but it's never, never what you expect. He's deceiving many a young people to think, hey, you can have a little fun at a little expense, you know. And it's never what that young person expects out of life. And God has other plans. And the ride that God wants to give us is not a cheap joy ride. It's not something that came inexpensively. The ride that Jesus wants to give us, or God wants to give us, came at a great price. It cost the blood of God's Son. And this ride that God wants to give us is a ticket to heaven. And He paid the expense. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. And we see the account in Genesis, and flip over to 1 Peter. Flip over there, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, the Bible says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. That was the payment. Suffering and death. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Amen? Those are cherished, those are wonderful words, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Notice that by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Jesus went to the depths of hell and there preached in hell. The Bible says, verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient. These spirits of disobedience, these demonic beings, these rebellious hosts of the devil rebelled against God. And not only that, we'll see in Genesis there, but they left their first estate, that heavenly estate, and they took upon a form of man and had intercourse there with mankind. And I don't know all the ins and outs and how it all worked, but there was children born of the sons of God and the children of the and the women of this world, and somehow they were giants were brought about, and a corruption in society. Society became corrupt and defiled, and these giants they began to procreate, and this is what the Bible says here, which sometimes were disobedient. Hey, God set the bounds for the angels. God sets the bounds for us. God sets the boundaries for mankind. And I don't care if you're an angel, or I don't care if you're a human being, when you cross God's bounds, get ready, it's not a pretty sight. It's not a good thing. And we need to take it serious, the command that God gives and the instruction that He gives. Hey, we cannot take sin too lightly. Say amen to that. Sin is serious. It's nothing to play around with. And the devil will lure you in, saying that it's just fun. You're just having fun. It's just natural. And will cause people to give themselves over to sin and ruin their lives and their future and their purity. We need to be careful. The Bible says here, though we have a merciful and long-suffering God, which sometimes were disobedient when once, you see that? When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. 8. I want you to remember that number. 8. 8 people were saved. And it was the long suffering of God that was moved and was revealed on earth in saving 8 people. There is a joyride that I want to invite you on this morning. I want you to see the love of God. This year, I pray that the love of God opens itself up and is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot show you God's love. I cannot put it into words, the unsearchable riches, both of the depth and the breadth and the width of the love of God. Listen, I cannot do it, but God can. And I pray that the Spirit of God would move in your hearts to experience His love. The theme, hereby perceive we the love of God. It's so important that we gain God's perception of love, not the love that this world has. Not the love that this world is trying to push on the church. Loving of entertainment. Loving of ourselves. Listen, I'm saying we need a pure and undefiled, undiluted love for God. And only when we see His love for us will we begin to understand how to truly love others and to show that love. And I'm going to take you to a passage, as you see here in Genesis chapter 6 now, to a passage that, boy, just seems like the farthest thing from the love of God. It seems like maybe the last example, the last story that you'd use to share the love of God. It's the story of Noah and the ark. It's a story of Noah And God told him to build an ark. And let's look at what is taking place here in Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, again, there's different views that you might have of this. Different views, and if you just take it as it's read, it lends itself to revealing something supernatural was taking place. Something out of the ordinary. Giants were born. You just don't give birth to a giant without some type of something special happening there. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. Now look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, that's a big every, that's an important every, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Some of you might have a study Bible, and in there it gives a little blurb there, a little excerpt of saying, you know, to the philosophy that some say there's a little good in every person. There's a little good in every person, and we've got to just try to bring out that little good that's in everybody. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got to be careful about lending and giving ourselves over to any hint of this humanistic philosophy and this anti-Christ theology here. Listen, there was a day when every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You think it's bad now? You think it's hard to find something good on TV now? Because all they want to put out on the television is filth and garbage and smut and pornography and corruption and perversion. Hey, listen, you think it's bad now? I think it was worse then, because every thought, every imagination, you couldn't utter a sentence without some perverted giggle and perverted twist. And all they thought about was wicked and heinous crimes and corruption, to the point in verse 6, it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth. And it grieved Him at His heart. The God of gods, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Father. The Father. You know, parents, you might regret some of the things your children have done. But it's a rare thing to find a parent that regrets ever giving birth to that child. Because somewhere in that child's life, there's memories, there's fond memories. There's the joy of having that little child and holding him in your arms and him being completely dependent on you. And maybe the first words out of their mouth, Dad or Mom, oh, the memories. And though they may disappoint you later in years, there's still often no regret that you gave birth to them. Oh, just a regret of some of the decisions they may have made. But here, the loving Father, with more love than we can ever imagine, is grieved that He had made man on the earth. Do you understand how wicked it really was? You understand how severe it really was for a father to say, look at verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. That's some grief there. That's a broken heart there. God's broken heart. But I want you to know the statement that's found in the New Testament, where sin did abound. The Bible says grace did much more abound. Amen. Where sin was wicked and sin was severe and sin was the continual, there was no thoughts given over to God. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I want you to look at the words in verse number 8. Though it repented God that He had made man, and though it got to the point where God said, you know what, I should just wipe them off and start all over again. Boy, Adam messed it up, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. Things aren't getting any better. Though I came down and I clothed Adam, and I told him how he could have fellowship with me, and I've set up a way in which they can have some atonement for their sin, some covering for their sin, yet they've spurned that and they've rejected that, and oh, they've given themselves over to themselves and their own sin. And though it was wicked, yet the Bible says in verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. But Noah found grace. We're living in a day where people like to ask the question, if God is such a loving God, why would He allow these type of things to happen? If God is so loving, why would He allow such things to happen? And you know, that's a difficult question to answer often. Sometimes when you're put on the spot, and you may not have much time to take them all the way back to the beginning and give them an idea of what we've done to God, and allowing them to see, though we've done so much more to God than He's ever done to us, that we feel that we deserve more. When we come back to this and we perceive the love of God, I cannot help but stop right here and say that God did not have to spare Noah. God did not have to keep Noah around. God could have said, you know what? I'm going to start all over and I'm going to do it again. And hopefully this time they'll get the picture. And you know what? By God sparing Noah, He knew that saving 8 people, it was going to cost Him the life of His son. We talk about Jesus would have died on the cross just to save one sinner. Just to save one. I think Noah is a perfect example of God's love. That God sent His son just for one man. God gave grace for one man. Let me take a minute and explain what grace is. You see, a lot of people in here may not understand grace. They look at Noah's life. Let's read it. Noah's life in verse number 9. And there are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in the generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through him. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark. I'm going to call that the love boat. Amen? The love boat. I don't know how much love was really going on when you fill a boat full of animals and, you know, what takes place after you leave animals contained for some time. I don't think there was that love, that aroma of love going through that boat, if you understand what I'm saying. I don't know if there was a lot of love there, but it certainly was a loving God that gave grace to Noah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And it begins to give the dimensions and what's going to happen. And we know the story in verse number 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For Thee have I seen righteous before Me in this generation. Now, the Bible says again in verse number 8, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is God's gift. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no contradiction in God's Word. It wasn't one way at one time, and then God changes it up and say, it's another way another time. I believe that it was grace and faith in the Old Testament, and it's grace and faith in the New Testament. It's always been the same. Adam had to have faith in the atoning blood of that lamb. And Abel and Cain had to have faith in the sacrifice of a lamb. And it was all picturing and pointing to the work that God would do, the work of redemption. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted him for righteousness. Abraham wasn't saved by the law. He was saved by faith in Jesus Christ, in God's Word, in the commandments. And so here, grace is a gift. God gave a gift to Noah, not because he deserved it. It looks that way, doesn't it? Noah was a righteous man. Noah was a perfect man. Noah, here, he feared God. And we look at it and say he was a just man in his generation. And he walked with God. And several things about Noah we'll look at that lend itself to saying, you know, he was a good man. He was worthy of saving. Noah was a sinner. Every imagination was defiled. Everybody was a sinner then. There was total corruption in society, in civilization. And so God found grace. God picked Noah. I don't know why. Why not somebody else? Why not this man? Why not that man? Listen, you're trying to enter into the mind of God, and you can't go there. You can't go there. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? You see. When we try to figure things out from God's perspective, we're gonna lead ourselves into heresy. We're gonna lend ourselves to doubting God. Listen, you've just got to take His Word. Grace is a gift. God wanted to share and express His love. God wanted to show His love in sparing Noah. He didn't have to, but He said, I'm going to find grace in Noah. And it was in this environment, and it was in this love, and it was in this realm that we see some things that Noah did. God's love is seen in man. God's love is seen in man. God's love and His grace is seen in man that are walking with Him. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? First of all, it means that you've got to make a decision. I don't know if some of your New Year's resolutions this year was to exercise more. Did anybody make that? I'm going to exercise this year. All right, Angie's the only one. We got some other. All right, there we got some. And exercise this year. Exercise a little more. You know what? You've got to make that decision. I've had a weight bench down in my basement for a long time. Every time I walk by, I say, you know, I'm going to get to that tomorrow. I'm going to get to that tomorrow. But you know, there had to come a day when I made a decision. You know what? I'm going to go down there and get on that bench. Understand something. Walking with God, first, a man must make. You don't just automatically, you don't just do it without making a decision. And you cannot walk with God without making a salvation decision to be born into the family of God. You cannot walk with God and not be His child. It cannot be. You cannot be a sinner and with a sin nature and say you're walking with God. You are walking contrary to God. You're walking away from God. You are dead in your sins, and you must be born again. Noah found grace. This grace enabled him to walk with God. It wasn't the other way around. It wasn't his walking with God that enabled his grace. It was God's grace that gives us the ability to walk with Him. We're saved by grace. We make a decision to accept the gift of God, His Son, Jesus Christ. We receive the gift, and suddenly we got a pep in our step. Amen? I like that. You like that? Huh? It's going to be hardwood up here. It's going to sound real good. Walking with God. You must be born again. You've got to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ. You must be born again. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you get saved, you are God's child. You can begin a fellowship and a walk with Him. Walking with God implies being in sync with God. Being in sync. Now, not in the same step as a military march, but it implies in cooperation with God. If I called somebody up here and said, Stephen, I want you to walk with me, all right? You going to walk with me today? Stand up. You want to walk with me? All right, come on, let's walk. All right? How? Look here. Are you walking with me?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yep.
All right. Are you sure you're walking with me?
Yep.
Sure? I'm going to speed up a little. Can you handle it? All right. All right. Oh, don't trip me up here. All right. Now go back down there. Is he walking with me? No, he's not. He's not. Walking with God implies being in sync with God. Listen, you cannot be in sync with God and be in sin. Say amen to that. You cannot be in sync with God and continue a sinful lifestyle. The Bible says in the garden that when Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they made themselves fig-leaved gowns or aprons and they hid themselves, and Jesus, God, came through in the cool of the day, and He was walking in the garden, and He's saying, Adam, where are you at? And they were hiding. Why? Because they couldn't be in sync with God. They couldn't be walking with God and be in sin. They were hiding out behind the bushes. And listen, you may be in church this morning, but you're not walking with God if you're in sin. Walking with God implies a decision, implies being in sync with God, implies having faith, implies believing that God's plan and God's direction is best. It implies the fact that you believe where I'm going is where you need to go. Where God is going is where you... Where He leads me, I will follow. We sing the song, where He leads me, I will follow. Why do we follow Him? Because we believe where God goes is where we need to go. God gave grace that Noah could walk with God. What an amazing God. A loving God that would do such so that Noah, of all people, Noah could walk with God. What a loving God. What a gracious God. Noah's faith believed in the Word of God, believed in the Spirit of God. It believed in the people of God. Listen, I said you can come to church and not be walking with God. But I'm thankful today that we have here this morning some people that are right with God. They're walking with God. I'm thankful this morning that I don't have to be like Noah, where Noah was only saved with his family. I'm thankful that we have a church family, amen, that can walk with God together. I don't have to walk this walk alone. I don't have to be alone in my walk with the Lord. I don't have to tell my kids, though none of the other kids are going to do what's right, we're going to do what's right. Though none of the other kids in school are going to abstain from immoral relationships, we're going to abstain from that type of activity. And I'm glad that we have a church family that believes God's Word and believes the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, that we're to be separate from this world. Amen? That we're to be different. We're to be a peculiar people. And abstinence works 99.99% of the time. Amen? I saw that on Facebook. I went, what? What is that? Tenth or a hundredth of percent, it doesn't work. And then it clicked. Mary abstained, but still had a baby. All right? So it works. Amen. It works. Don't mess around. Defiling your mind with wickedness and immorality and ungodliness. Listen, I'm glad that we have a place where we can walk with God, with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, with the people of God, having faith in God's plan. This is God's love, but also it was seen in the work. God's love is seen in a man working for God. In Hebrews chapter 11, you can turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, a little account there of Noah. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 7. By faith, Noah. I believe that's his walking with God. By faith, Noah. Noah walking with God, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Boy, there's some things, fellas, that you need to be busy working. Because of God's love and because of God's grace, we can begin working for the saving of our house. Making preparations for our children, for our children's children. Making preparations for their salvation. By God's grace, you can be obedient and begin to plan for your children to be saved. How do you plan for your children to be saved? By obeying the Lord and bringing them to church. Amen. I'm glad your children are here in children's church. And though there may be some things happen back there, boy, there may be some kids picking on one another and some babies biting one another back there and biting the nursery workers and I don't know all that goes on back there. It would scare you if we had a video camera. See what Brother Tate does with those kids back there. I don't know. But I say this, they are in the right place. Amen? They're in God's house. And if they only get one Bible verse or one little thought, I'm thankful that you're making preparations for your children to follow the Lord and to walk with the Lord. And Noah began to prepare. He began to work. By God's grace, he was working for God. He prepared an ark. Here, he began to make preparations. I've told the church, listen, Noah built the ark, but Jim Beck built the platform. Amen? And not just Jim Beck, but many of you have provided and you've helped and you've been here. Jeff Mills has been here and others to lend a hand and to give sacrificially, to give so that you can prepare for your children to come and kneel at this altar and maybe for your children to walk down this aisle in holy matrimony in a beautiful place where they can consecrate their life over to holy matrimony. What a beautiful thing, making preparation for God to work. Send Miss Britton's husband worked 30 years ago, 40 years, 50 years ago, making preparation, building these walls, and Miss Leslie and her husband Ed and Carolyn and Orvin, they've put some sweat into this place. They've opened their wallets and put some money into this place. They've made preparation for you and I. Hey folks, it's our turn, amen, to work for the Lord. To say, I'm not just going to job. I'm not just going to work 40 hours a week for myself. I'm making preparation because I know that one day this world is going to melt with the fervent heat and God's going to destroy everything on this earth. And we need to prepare for Christ's return, for God to come back. And I want to be ready. Amen, don't you? I hope you do. Things not seen as yet, the Bible says here. He prepared an ark when he had never even heard of rain before. He didn't even know what rain was. He didn't even seen a raindrop. You go to Genesis chapter 3, I believe it is. The Bible says that the mist rose up from the ground. God, when he created the earth, he put in a sprinkler system. It was a mist coming from the ground, the moisture. And as I'm told in biology class, they said there was a sphere of water around the earth that protected it from the ultraviolet rays. And there was fountains in the deep in the earth. And that moisture would come out during the cool parts of the day,
The day was cool. Hey, today the day is the heat of the day. Back then it was the cool of the day. Boy, wouldn't that have been nice, huh? When God turns the air conditioner up while you guys are out working, huh? Thank Adam for that. He messed everything up. But God had a system set up. And Noah didn't know what was going to happen. Why build an ark? There's no floods. How's it going to flood? But he obeyed. Listen, you may not understand why we need to remodel some of these things. You may not understand why we need to send missionaries over there. You might say something like, God will save them. If they're supposed to be saved, God will save them. Listen, sir, I believe that God uses men. God uses you. And God uses women for the spreading of the gospel. God has chosen us to do God wants us to do what He's chosen not to do. God's wanted the gospel to be spread through our lips. Are you working for God? You don't see those people in Africa. Things not seen as yet. But does it move you? Does the Spirit of God move you? Does the love of God, God's grace, move you in working for Him? The Bible says in John 15:10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Fish swim in the water. Birds fly in the air. People walk on land. That is the realm that God has given. But let me say this. People obey in love. When we enter the atmosphere of God's love, we can't help but obey. God does something. In that atmosphere of love, God helps us to obey His commandments. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. I think they just go hand in hand. I don't know what comes first. I believe the love comes first and the obedience comes. When you love God, you'll obey God. It's that much easier. But then I want you to see God's love is seen in His witnessing. In His witnessing. God witnessed to mankind through Noah. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, by the which He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It was the long suffering of God during the time of Noah when the ark was being prepared. 100 years maybe? 120 years? 120 years building the ark. Jim, you thought you were getting up there in years building the ark, building the platform up here. Noah spent 120 years. We're going on 2 weeks, huh? 2 weeks. 120 years. God's long suffering. I wonder if He said, take your time, Noah. I want to give Him every chance I can give Him. Take your time, Noah. I want them to know. Hey, Noah, why are you building that ark? God said, there's a flood coming. Need to be ready to get on. That's crazy. That's crazy. We've got a lot of people thinking we're crazy today. You know what the Bible says in John chapter 3? They're condemned already. They're condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn them. They were condemned already. He came that they might have life. And they might have it more abundantly. God built the ark. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be that escape, to be that payment for sin. And that is the witness that we have today. Jesus paid it all. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I know it's sometimes not a very popular message. Because anytime we talk about heaven, we've got to talk about hell. Anytime we talk about a Savior on the cross, we cannot forget it's because of sinful man. And there's a lot of people that would try to ignore one and just highlight all the pleasantries of heaven and everybody can go to heaven. No, sir, listen, only those that have a Savior, Jesus Christ. Because there is sin. There is sin. And we need to witness of the sin. We need this witness. We need to bear witness of the light as John was.
There's a story. I don't know how true it is. I read the story. I'll tell it to you like I read it. It's a story about a man who worked on a railroad, or worked for the railroad station, and he operated a bridge that would lift up so the boats can go under and then would close so that the train could go across. He took his son one day on this bridge and they were going to make a day of it. His son wanted to see the boats and see the trains, and so they packed their lunch and they went, and the day was going fine and they were operating those switches for the trains, and they decided to take lunch on the other side of the water there. The station was on one side, and they decided to take lunch on the other side and go across the walkway there, and as they're going across, he remembers that he needed to lower the bridge for the train that was supposed to come on that certain schedule in case he didn't make it back in time. And so he walked back to the station as his son went across the bridge, and he began to lower that, and somehow the little boy crawled out over the railing and got into the middle of that and got right in where the two parts meet. And the dad realized what was taking place. He saw his son get on there, and he realized that that bridge was going to come down on his son, and he's torn now because he knows the train's about to come through. And he hears the train coming, and he has to make that awful decision. His son, 300 passengers. The story is told that he chooses to sacrifice his son for the safety and the well-being of those 300 on that train. And as he lowers that bridge and that train comes roaring through, and he knows that his son's life has just been taken, and he looks on that train as those passengers are just playing cards and they're sipping tea and just going about their conversing one with another, and he cries out, "Don't you know what I just did for you? Don't you care the payment that I made, the sacrifice that I gave?" But they just went on their merry way. I don't know how true it is, but I know that Jesus gave His life. God sent His Son. And that's true. And people walk their way every day, nonchalantly and casually, as if nothing's ever happened. They take the fact that Jesus paid it all. That Jesus gave His life that we might have life and life more abundantly. May I say that this love of God is going to be seen when you walk with God. It's going to be seen when you work for God. It's going to be seen when you witness for God. Do you have God's grace? Are you living in the realm of God's love? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we might get a glimpse of Your love this morning. There's one here that's not made the decision to accept You and be brought to heaven through the suffering of Jesus Christ. I pray they'd make this decision today. And their heart, might they call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Might they have the boldness and the obedience to maybe come forward and make a public profession. Lord, if there's some that have gotten cold towards the love of God, may You stoke the fires, and may we live in the love of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need to be saved this morning, won't you come? Maybe you need to get rid of some sin in your life this morning, or maybe you just need to surrender and say, "God, I want to serve You. I want to live for You." As the instrument begins to play, if God's spoken to your heart, won't you come? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. If you're going to be baptized this morning, won't you come? God's love real to you? Is it motivating you? Is the grace of God moving you as you walk with Him?